Today I'm going to take some time. I'm visiting with State Senator Jesse Green on our legislative review program. And Senator, thanks for taking time to visit with us.
Hey, thanks to be with you. It's an interesting time of session to kind of catch up and see how the session's going to end.
I know this is one of those things where you start getting into these final days and sometimes you get to be very busy doing things and sometimes you just sit and wait.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. And that's one thing I kind of think is kind of fun at the legislature is you just never know what issue is going to pop up or what days are going to be busier than others or which constituents come on certain days. And so it really makes the session fun, in my opinion.
Well, one of the things we know is we got through here, obviously it was a little over a week ago. We did get the education, finally got that done. And I guess, were you pretty pleased with the way it worked out, what you were able to compromise on?
Well, certainly, I do like the finished product. It's not perfect, but I think it definitely improves our educational system in Iowa. All along, the governor came out and said that AEA reform was going to be her number one priority for this session, and every year it seems to be a topic, and it goes way back to 2011 when they came out with a task force back then, and they came to, with recommendations to the legislature, and nothing ever happened. And so Governor Reynolds has not been afraid to take some of the tough fights, and she said, now's the time. And so long story short, with our AEA reform bill, we came to a compromise. The governor was in kind of one position. The Senate was somewhere in the middle between the Senate between the governor and the House. And then the House, initially, they just kind of wanted to come out with another task force, maybe do some stuff with media services and professional development funding. But then the Senate was trying to find that happy medium. And I think at the end of the day, we did come up with some happy medium where pretty much special education funding, which is really at the heart of what the AEA does and what we're all concerned about. The money in the near term stays with them, and the schools will still be going to them for those services. But we're going to allow a lot more flexibility when it comes to the other services for our public schools. And the vast majority of schools that I talk to are still going to use the AEAs for those services. Nevertheless, it's going to create more transparency within the system so that school boards and superintendents know what their real costs are for some of these services. And that's really at the heart of this, is to create more transparency and accountability, a little bit more oversight so that we're as efficient as possible with the taxpayer dollars with that, which comes up to be about $250 million. It's a lot of money. So the other portion of that bill is the teacher salary bill, which I'm really, really proud of. This puts us, depending on timing of when this is implemented, either fifth or sixth in the nation for starting teacher pay. That's without adjustment for cost of living. I think that's absolutely remarkable to put us into that situation. Also, when you look at it from a conservative financial perspective, how can we help our rural public schools? It's the rural public schools that have a lower salaries than the urban districts. So if you're looking to try to push more of your available education funding to the rural schools, starting teacher pay is a great way to do that. And so I think when you adjust our starting teacher pay level with cost of living, I'm guessing it's going to be number one or number two in the nation if you adjust it for that. So that was really at the heart of the bill that brought a lot of different people together, because one issue with the AEAs is that a lot of teachers, when they get stressed out or overworked within the public school system, they kind of look for an avenue to get within the AEA so that they can get paid better and have less stress. And so that's why the teacher salary component was a part of this AEA conversation, and rightly so. So then, of course, the other part of that was the SSA, which is our state supplemental aid. And usually under Republican control, you'll go anywhere from the conversation will be somewhere between 2.5% and 3.5%. And the reason we negotiated down to 2.5% is that was the compromise that the Senate struck with the House in order to increase the starting teacher pay and make sure that we're still being conservative with our spending. So overall, it's going to be over $200 million new dollars pumped into education, and I'm really proud of that.
I know a lot of your school board finance people were really waiting for that that the SSA part. They really, that's something that they've been really focused on. And I did want to ask, because I know some people are going to say, well, okay, so you did the starting teacher pay. How does that work for those that have been in the system for 5, 8, 10 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one way we were able to kind of help local districts navigate those sensitive conversations is to create two tiers. So like the House initially just had a starting teacher pay increase, but nothing for veteran teachers or some clarity into that. And so I that's where I thought the Senate had a little bit better approach, where we had developed a second tier for veteran teachers that have been there for 12 years or longer to be starting teacher pay. I believe it is like $62,000. Mm-hmm. And so that should help ease the conversations a little bit on the local level with those teachers that have been there for, you know, 5 to 8 years that might feel like that they're left out. The school should be able to figure out the math with that and the additional funding to make sure that everybody gets the proper pay increase. And I think that also puts a little bit more power in the local government's hands or local schools' hands to also create somewhat of a merit system that, all the teachers that have been there for 5 or 6 years, maybe they have underperformed or whatever, and they can make those decisions for themselves. But I think with the Senate's proposal, you'll see a healthy increase for everybody.
Yeah, and I think as I interpret what the House put out, keep a lot of the funding this year with the local schools, again, to be adjusted next year. And again, a work in progress.
Yeah, one of the things that was kind of left hanging out there was para-educators. And so for this first year, we will be appropriating money specifically for para-educators, and that was kind of one of the last negotiating items. And next year, for sure, we will have to have that conversation again to make sure we create a more long-term plan for those individuals, because they deserve a pay increase too.
Okay, so we got by that. What other items came up for you this week? That I know there were a couple of bills that passed out and the governor did sign. I know you were supporting.
Yeah, so, we're at the point of session where I kind of lose track of where some bills are at, but one bill that caught headlines was our religious freedom bill, and there's quite a bit of confusion out there as to what that bill does. And then really this conversation started back in the 90s when Bill Clinton came out with the first Religious Freedom Restoration Act on a federal level, and what that helped create is this little more protection for private businesses who are scared to do things that might violate their conscience. And so the classic cases of like the bake the cake situation in Colorado both come up in this regard as to how we should view those situations from a law perspective. And in Iowa, we had a situation not too many years ago where there was a wedding venue that didn't want to take part in a gay wedding. It violated their conscience. They ended up getting sued and settling out of court for a huge fine. They didn't want to go through the turmoil of the court process and stuff, and they didn't know how long that would get drug out because of the unclarity within our state law. And so what our bill does is just make sure that we give a little bit more security to our First Amendment freedoms, and that people will have their day in court to make sure that they have their day in court if that's the route that they want to go. And it's kind of similar to like strict scrutiny when it comes to our Second Amendment laws. You know, a few years ago we passed Second Amendment language to the Constitution, and the reason we do that is just to add more a backbone to those freedoms, to give our citizens a peace of mind that that they will have their day in court and most likely win.
All right. What are some of the other things that you have coming up here that you're still looking at? Are there some things you're still working on?
Yeah, so I'm really proud of some bills that haven't caught a statewide perspective, but stuff that Representative Thompson, Carter Norman, and I have been working on for our district. One of those things is open enrollment transportation. A year ago, Representative Thompson and I filed companion bills to force a conversation on in these large rural districts. Every rural legislator hears complaints from constituents about, let's say they live closer to a neighboring school district and school, mm-hmm. and they would like to open enroll that school, but they can't find means of transportation with that school. And what happens is the sending district will, if they don't agree to a transportation arrangement, the receiving school district can't do anything about it. And so then those taxpayers and those parents feel like they're being held hostage by a school district that they don't want to send their kids to. Mm-hmm. And so our bill this year helps create some flexibility with that. We were able to strike a compromise so that if you live within 2 miles of a neighboring school district and you come up with an arrangement with that neighboring school district, that the sending district can't hold you hostage anymore. And so it just creates more healthy conversations in that regard. And that specifically helps some of our constituents here in Ogden. That's where a lot of the complaints came from, is mm-hmm. are some of the parents that live south of Boxholm that go to Ogden and they want some help with their transportation. So that's going to go to the governor's desk, as well as there's a Perry-specific bill to help them in their situation. They're afraid of possibly losing some teachers because of some of the tragedies that has mm-hmm. happened this year. And so they wanted to have some flexibility with their management levy to be able to give retention bonuses to their teachers that decide to stay. And so we also, in that bill, included some waivers for their testing requirements this year because of what they've gone through. So that just got passed out of the Senate a couple days ago and heading to the governor's desk. And Carter Norman did a lot of work on that. Lastly, I suppose that comes to mind is my vaccination disclosure bill, which simply just forces schools to just disclose what current Iowa law is in regards to vaccination exemptions. It really disheartened me when I saw quite a few cases around the state where school nurses or schools were misleading or lying to parents about what our law is and making them think that their kids can't go to school unless they have vaccinations, and that's just not true. I just want an honest conversation about what current law is, and that's what my bill does. Passed out of the Senate, it's passed out of education in the House, and it's waiting for them to get taken up on the floor, but I'm pretty sure that'll get to the governor's desk too.
Okay. Pretty confident but budget things are going to come together. What I heard was, what, you guys are probably just less than $90 million apart between the House and the Senate and what the governor would like, too.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting how historically the House would be the higher chamber as far as what they want to spend. The governor comes in the middle, and then the Senate's usually below the governor, and then we typically land where the governor's targets are at, and with the exception of a few specific line items. And so you're right that we're $90 million off, and it sounds like a lot. It's about 1% of our budget that we're off. So
the one thing I keep saying is people need to remember, we're talking a multi-billion-dollar budget here. So $90 million is not that big of a point.
No, I think this will be some pretty easy budget conversations. The complexity is that the House, I think, feels like they had a lot of bills die in the Senate that shouldn't have died as far as policy bills. And so I think they're going to want to try to tack on some policy bills onto the budgets, which we don't really like doing in the legislature. But if they attempt to do that, that will certainly drag out these conversations a little bit more. But as far as the dollars and cents go, I think we're going to land on our targets pretty easily. For example, the one that I just talked about yesterday in negotiation was in judges' salaries, and that's been a concern that's kept coming up. And there the governor was going to give a 6% increase in her budget targets, and the House and the Senate are underneath that. So it's been really helpful to be a part of those conversations and see how that negotiation process works. But I think I'm hopeful that we'll get out on time. We haven't got out on time since I've been there. But from the Senate's perspective, we're ready to go.
We want to get it done. Did want to ask you quickly about, you did have a little bit of a forum here in Boone earlier this week, a chamber able to put that together with help from a couple other groups, and you and Phil Thompson on hand, you had a chance to have a nice conversation with a crowd of people.
Sure. It was long overdue. I go to forums up in Fort Dodge once in a while. Jefferson has a great forum once a month. Usually Guthrie Center has one as well. But it's always seemed odd to me that Boone County doesn't have a forum. So I commend the Boone Chamber for working with me on that and making that happen. It was so productive. It was so encouraging to see many community leaders and neighboring rural communities come together and ask some good questions. Iowa Economic Development sent their associate director, Deanna Triplett, and their liaison to come and answer some questions about some economic development policy or workforce housing questions. And so it was by far one of the best forums I've seen in a long time, and really grateful for that.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I heard was a lot of economic development talk going on there.
Yeah, yep. No, a lot of that. And then there's some more typical issues that came up, which is fine, too. We were able to have some productive conversation about the complexity of school finance and some of these other issues.
What? It's not as easy as everybody thinks, is it? School finance.
No, it's not. But one thing I sure enjoy is at the end of the day, we're really blessed, and I'm really excited about Boone and its future. Our proximity to Ames and Des Moines, I think Boone is just going to continually grow, and we just need to be prepared for this growth and make sure that we're just keep working on being better.
All right. Well, we'll keep following what's going on. Hopefully, you'll only have another 2 weeks is what you've really been scheduled for, right?
Yeah, another 2 weeks. So our last appropriations committee meeting in the Senate will be on Monday. We'll pass out the education appropriations budget, and then the human resource budget, which is our two largest budgets and controversial. So I look forward to that meeting and clearing that step. So I think we'll see quite a few more policy bills come up next week. And then that last week will just be final negotiations between leadership, and hopefully we're done.
Well, I'm really hoping that they get you done in time so that all your staff doesn't take off and leave you guys just sitting there by yourselves.
They're great. They've been busy. That's one of my favorite parts of being in the legislature is seeing the research staff and how hard they work, and they are just some of the most brilliant people, and it's really fun to watch them work. But they're definitely ready for a break, I'm sure.
All right. Hey, I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us this week, getting us updated on what's been happening down there with the legislature, and again, a couple of weeks to go. We'll keep in touch with you, okay?
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All righty. State Senator Jesse Green, a guest on our program today on KWBG.